When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
From Backpage, I'm Martin Gregg, and welcome to the 9th episode in this new season of Between the Lines. This is my conversation with Paul Ballas, a 26-year-old Catalan journalist and co-author of our latest book, Pep City, The Making of a Super Team. Here, Paul tells us how he went from waiting tables in a Liverpool tapas restaurant to unprecedented access to one of the biggest football clubs in the world and their iconic coach, Pep Guardiola. You know, it's interesting that you came to the UK prior to Pep's arrival, so this wasn't a ready-made plan to try and report on Pep stories. Why were you so interested in coming to the UK? What was the attraction of reporting on football in this country?
The first Premier League game that I watched at home with my parents was a Liverpool Aston Villa with Fernando Torres on Liverpool. It was one of the first seasons that it was like on free TV broadcasting the Premier League in Spain. So yeah, I lived like really close all the rays of the STBG, Frank Lampard, Rio Ferdinand, the great Ferguson, Man United, also the Mourinho's Chelsea. Man City wasn't the biggest one when I started following all the English football. And I also, one of the things that I really loved was like following the Championship, following League One, following League Two. When I got time, I tried to go to League One games, to League Two games. I've been to basically all of the stadiums around here, Greater Manchester. I've been to Bury, they're not playing anymore in English Lane, but I've been to Rochdale, I've been to Oldham, I've been to Wigan, I've been to Preston, I've been to Tranmere Rovers in Liverpool. I have been in Crewe Alexandra. It's one of my passions, just going there with knowing just nothing about any of the players, go there and think, okay, that number, I don't know, 10 from Oldham is really good, just keep following him.
I noticed in the book, I think it's Lou's prologue to the book, where he mentioned that you moving to the UK and you actually worked as a waiter for a while, and then you got a job as Diario Sport, which is a Spanish daily paper based in Barcelona. But this is quite a big leap of faith for you. You know, for a young man who's obviously finished journalism college, I would imagine the easier option would be to stay in Barcelona and maybe try and integrate into the football media there. But you've taken this leap of faith. You've come across. Tell us a little bit about that. Those early stages. Were you working in restaurants? Were you trying to pick up freelance work? How were you trying to establish yourself in this industry?
When I arrived in 2015, I went to Liverpool and I started working at a restaurant called Luña, that is also in Manchester. Actually, it's a Spanish restaurant. Luña, it's for Catalonia. And I worked there just as a waiter, just to have a life, just to have a minimum salary and to have a base, just to allow me to go to games at the weekend or to manage everything, to doesn't leave my target, that was writing about football. I had the luck that my bosses agreed with me to let me go to all the football matches that I wanted, so my schedule was really well adapted to that. And after that, I tried to sell my ideas to Spanish media. I can remember that I wrote for the magazine Paninka, that probably was one of my first biggest steps that I did in my career here, because Paninka is quite a big magazine for me. It's quite of represents what I wanted to do here in Spanish media, because it's like a football and cultural magazine. And yeah, I started to make in contact with Diario Sport. I can't remember that I sold them some little pieces of my work here, and that's how I met them. And yeah, I tried to make my first steps here on that way. I don't regret that. Probably it was one of the most enjoyable times in my life. And yeah, when Pep arrived, the Irish Sport called me just to be with them in a more regular basis, and that's where all changed.
Pep is obviously the catalyst for all this. But in terms of that, what is access like for a Spanish reporter at Manchester City then? Do you have any kind of special access because of where you come from, the fact that you're a Spanish reporter, or are you just going along to the weekly press conferences the same as the rest of the UK-based journalists? You know, what was the level of your access at that point?
At that point, I didn't even know Pep or his people. I mean, I had never spoken with them. So when I started covering Man City, my job was going weekly to every press conference, go to every game, and yeah, just starting getting used to cover football team. But basically, that was my job at that point. Then everything changed when Lou arrived. He obviously had a special relationship with Pep because they know for a lot of years. And Lou was a guy that I used to look up to when I was studying. So for me, it was like, wow, Lou Martinez here. So I'm going to try to not be too nice to him, not be too cocky with him. But yeah, at the end of the day, we end up like getting along really well.
It's interesting that probably very few people in the UK will actually know Lou Martin's name, but he is actually quite a famous journalist in Spain, isn't he? Can you tell us a little bit about the profile he has in Spain and the type of reporting that he is known for?
Yeah, he's an old school guy. He's an old school reporter. He's known for being like really famous, a street reporter, if you can call it that way. He's not a guy to be closed on a news desk 8 hours a day. He has to be just on the streets, and he can find like stories under a rock or just in every corner. That's the kind of guy he is. He has like a special sense just to know the stories. Probably he's the best interviewer that I have ever met. It's a crazy thing how he manage all the interviews, how he can handle to find a personal side to everything, or just to get more close than anyone to the source in terms of just talking. And yeah, he had been working in Diario Sport way before I started working there. He was covering first Espanyol and then Barcelona. I wasn't there, but every journalist that was living on that time, they told me that Lou and the people that were working at Diario Sport changed like everything. At that time, they did things like so differently. They reached like an approach to all the sports coverage that was never done before, like with a closeness to with the sources, but at the same time being like very critical. And that's what made El País, that is like the biggest Spanish paper, bet for Lou. El País signed Lou. He spent like more than 15 years in El País, and I think that it speaks for himself. He made some of the best pieces that I've ever read in Spanish journalism. So yeah, I mean, he's a legend there.
You do build a relationship with him, and at some point he asks you to get involved in this book, which must be an incredible experience, because being such a young journalist, taking a chance to come to this country, and then suddenly, probably within a couple of years, you know, one of the most famous journalists in Spain is asking you to co-author a book. That must have been an amazing moment for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now when I look back, I almost don't believe it, because it seems like a fairy tale, but it's been massive for me. I mean, probably I have no words to express how big and how exciting have been for me these last 2-3 years. Also, well, it's been like a great project being involved in that, just being close to Pep and his city, getting to know Lou and having like a special bond with him. But also was like massive for me being in that, for the opportunity that it means in terms of learning. Because I feel that probably at the university, when you study, there's a lack of knowledge, of real knowledge. How is the real world? How is the real writing? Which are the problems that you have to face? Being here in England, what has given to me is just being on the street all day, trying to look for my story, trying to deal with all the problems that all the freelance writer has to deal with. And being with Lou has been like having the best teacher on it. I mean, so having a person that was guiding me, or in every problem I could call him, and he told me, okay, you have these two options here, just go that way or just go that way, but just be clear on that. So for me, it was like a master, like a separate degree doing that was like learning process all the time, and was one of the most exciting things for sure.
Lou mentions in the introduction that he wanted someone with a fresh pair of eyes and a different perspective to bring to it. Did you sit down with Lou and discuss what your role would be within the book?
Yeah. I mean, from day one, he was pretty clear to me. One of the questions that I had to him when he proposed me to do the book was like, what I'm going to do in it, because I don't see what can I give you? Because you have the contacts, you know better than anyone how to do an interview, you know better than anyone how to tell a story, so what I'm going to do here? And he told me, just don't worry, because you will work, and you will work a lot. And well, he was right, because from day one, I think that he was really generous with that, because we split like everything 50-50. I mean, he involved me with everything, and he wanted me to involve him with everything that I had on my mind. All the interviews that we did that I can remember, I think that we were together. I mean, we did all the interviews together, and the process of writing, we split it like, yeah, I mean, in really equal parts, just to all of us be involved. Also, at the beginning was important. I think that it was important for him just to make me write a lot, and just to correct me a lot, to show me how he wanted to do it. Because obviously he was setting the tone, and I had to adapt to his style probably, or to his way of writing. And at the beginning, I didn't know how to write or how to do the things. But yeah, he just insisted me to write like a lot of chapters. I sent them over, and he not corrected them, but tell me, okay, I think that we should go more straight to the point here. You should, yeah. So it was a bit, yeah, it was all a process of learning. But at the end of the day, I think that if I could count it, probably the book would be like 50-50.
I mean, that's amazing to hear that, because it could have been easy for him to have made you the junior partner in the relationship. You know, there's a huge difference in terms of experience. And he could have said to you, well, you know, when it came to doing a big interview, I'll handle this, Paul. You know, you don't need to do this one. You know, this is my territory. But the fact that he split it down the middle and he involved you in everything says so much about what he must have thought of your skills as well. So, but I want to talk a little bit about something that we were talking about in the pub in the Etihad Stadium the other night. We were talking about the art of interviewing, and I was asking you about, you know, what is so special about Lou Martin? What are the things that make him rise above other journalists? And you were talking about how special he is in the interviewing scenario. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, and maybe you could use the example of, we were talking about the other night about Kun Aguero, and how he managed to get information out of Kun that like no one had ever heard before.
The thing that gives him like the credit to be one of the best for me is that he makes the interviewer feel that he's, I don't know, at the pub speaking to a friend. I mean, when we talked to Kun Aguero, I think that it was scheduled to be like a 40-minute interview at maximum. That is quite a lot with Kun, but we ended up speaking with him like 2 hours. And Kun was saying like, "No, just go for it. Just keep talking, because I'm so good here." So probably that's his ability, and it's not. He doesn't create that being so kind to the player. So he just creates that being like plain, being straight to the point, but also so sensitive. I mean, he has the ability to make the player feel like he's a friend of him, and that he can rely on him. And in Kun Aguero it was great, but also I don't know, also in Pep Guardiola, of course they have like a special bond, but with players that we didn't even know, or we didn't even have a relationship. I can't remember now, Gundogan was great also with us. Because I think that they can feel that they could trust with us, in terms that we are going to ask you like a question that is probably going to be difficult for you, but we're going to let you speak, and we're not going to try to just get to the hurting point without getting a reason, or without getting a pure explanation to understand that.
And this is something that has perhaps struck me about Lou as well, that he has this like plain speaking. He gets straight to the point. I don't think he speaks to these world-class footballers like 99% of people in their life do. He just speaks to them like you're saying. He's speaking to his friend in the pub, and they obviously respond to the fact that he communicates in that way.
And I think that the player feels a bit that he's protected with him, because he's a guy that can understand him, and he's a guy that is not trying to, I don't know, to make him go the wrong way. No. He's crystal clear. I mean, there's no second way for Lou. So also, I mean, if the player likes this style, or the source in any case likes this style, I mean, it's all done for Lou, because he's so good in that.
Yeah, his reputation goes before him with a lot of players, I'm sure.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To get quite specific, take for example the first chapter of the book, which is A Day in the Office, which is amazing, because it's you shadowing Pep for a working day. Were you there for that day, or was that a composite of different days? Like how did that chapter come together?
It was like a compilation of different days, but I was there on the day that we were on Pep's office. Well, we've been there interviewing him two times, so I've been there both of the times, and you could see that just when we got into his office, the first question that he does to Pep is not, "Hey Pep, how are you?" It's like, "Why do you have these golf sticks here? Did you want to play golf lately, or why do you have this statue of Cruyff here? Who gave it to you?" So he just goes beyond that from the starting point. He goes to the detail. Plus this chapter that you were talking about, that is like a compilation of what Pep does like in a daily basis. Obviously Pep, we have been really close to him, but sometimes he doesn't want to show everything to you, and he's not going to do that. But the fact of being able to write that is because we have been in touch to all his people, to all his friends, to all the people that surround him in a daily basis. And they told us things that Pep wouldn't say to us, probably because he's not even aware of that. When he's walking down the corridors like a maniac, I mean, he's not even aware of that, but the rest of the people is. So I think that it was like a mix of things, a mix of being there, just watching Pep, watching everything he does, everything he has, how he is dealing with the people there, but also being in contact with all his staff and all his environment.
One of the other things that you bring to the project is you have good English. I know you don't think you have good English, but you've done plenty of publicity for the book. You've been in national radio and you've communicated very clearly. So do you think that was that an asset in terms of piecing this book together? Did you interview anybody in English? Because we should make the point that Lou doesn't have much English. So was the fact that you were able to speak English well, was that an important part of bringing the book together?
Yeah, well, that was an asset, because I did a lot of interviews in English, of course. I don't know, we've spoken to Gundogan in English, to Sané in English, to a lot of players in English. But I wouldn't say that when Lou started talking to me, English was the main part. Probably it was an item that he considered. But I think that he asked me basically because we got along really good at the daily press conference and all that stuff. And he said to me, okay, that's a guy that I probably wouldn't mind to work with in a news desk in the same paper, so why not trying to do a book with him? But yeah, at the end of the process, I can say that English has been like a key asset. Without that, probably we wouldn't have got like so much voices as we've had and willingness to speak that most of the people that here in City has showed us.
Let's just finish up by talking about the challenges of turning this two-season Spanish book into a three-season English edition, which was a very interesting process. And I remember myself and Neil meeting you and Lou in Manchester, and we were talking about how we would do it. And I remember Lou saying that he said, "Oh, this is like a new book." And at the time, like I didn't agree with that, and Neil didn't agree with that. We thought, well, as long as we manage this additional material carefully, then we can integrate it into the original material and it will be fairly straightforward. But actually, Lou was right, because we had to really almost rip it up and start again in some ways, you know, because so much happened last season and it impacted on what had went before. The whole structure of the book changed. You were generating lots of new content. Talk a little bit about, from your point of view, that must have been quite an intense experience, because you were writing as the season was unfolding, getting new interviews and having to respond to live events like, you know, Spurs in the Champions League and VAR and all this sort of stuff. That must have been an intense period for you.
Yeah. It's been like probably the most intense season of that, of the last one that we have been here. I would say that when we decided to do that, it was a bit of a gamble, and you know it, because we didn't know how was it going to end. Because explaining the 100 point season of City in the Premier League was an easy story and was a happy story to sell, but just deciding to do like a three season story when everything was still like on dispute was a bit of a gamble. But everything went well. But From the point when Lou told you, okay, it's going to be like a new book, we knew that we had to be like really strong on it, or that we had to be like really involved with it, because what we wanted to do with that book is being published in English, and we wanted it to have it here for the English fans, for City fans, well, not just City fans, for English football fans. It was like an ambition for us, and we wanted to do it well. And when we were deciding the date of publishing it, how were we doing it, Lou and me, we realized that we still got something new to tell, and that there were like a lot of material to tell, and that if we wanted to do something new, we had to do it like big. We had to do it like go there like and do like new stories, new characters, and a new angle to everything. And I think that it was also always in our minds just to be focused on that and try to do almost a new book that when we started thinking about it, it was almost impossible. Each other, I think that we pushed each other just to try to keep on doing it and just to try to do our best. And I think that the final result is a thing that we are really happy with.
I think from our point of view, you and Lou were very open to our feedback, because I think you realised that you were in such a intense moment, and we had a kind of broader perspective on it. And so I think you gave us, you know, a lot of control in terms of the structure of the book. But it was interesting, because there were moments where, you know, for example, the Sterling chapter, you guys had been writing like crazy and filing all this new stuff. And I remember saying to Neil, we have to change the Sterling chapter. The story has moved on so much. And then like the next day, you phoned me up and you said, we have to change the Sterling chapter. And I think as the process went on, I think we started to kind of, we were on the same wavelength, I think, towards the end, like particularly the last couple of months. And I think a lot of the discussions we had were constructive, because you would come on and say, well, actually, can you have a look at that chapter? We think that chapter should be reintegrated. And then we would say, yeah, you're right. Or sometimes we would say, well, we don't think so because of this reason. But from our point of view, it was very healthy. And hopefully from your point of view, that process worked as well.
Yeah, it was totally. It was because We wrote the stories, but we know that you are the editors and you know things that we don't, in terms of a structure, in terms of the British point of view, that for us was very important to hear to you about that. So we felt that we need to listen to you. We need to express all our doubts to you and just to ask you. And yeah, I think it was a really healthy relationship. To be honest, all of you were like really open to discuss anything, any proposal that we had. That at some point, I think that it could have been some crazy ideas. You have like listened to us like really well. So yeah, I think it was like the perfect match probably.
Just finally, let's talk about the reaction to the book, because the book was out probably just over a month ago now. I should say that the first print run sold out very quickly, so we now have a second print run in time for Christmas. The book is selling very well, so we are delighted from our point of view. The publicity has been enormous. Tell us a little bit from your point of view, what has struck you about the reaction to the book since it's been published?
No, we are totally surprised. I mean, we are totally happy. We cannot be more thankful to basically all the critics, because they have been great. We were a bit not afraid, but we had the respect of saying, okay, how is it going to sell in England? Because probably our way of telling the stories, probably it's different than the way that is more consumed here. But I think that here you did a good job, because you adapted our style to a more English way of telling things. That it has been great, and I think that the book reflects that a lot. All the response has been great. I mean, all the journalists that we have speak with, all the Man City Daily and Man United as well, daily journalists that we are surrounded with, they have congratulated us. I mean, it's really impressive for us just to see people that I admire, like, I don't know, Daniel Taylor or Henry Winter, people like that, just saying that the book is not bad, that it's okay, and that has something that they didn't know. And I mean, that's really fantastic for us. And I mean, at the moment we are just enjoying that and really happy that all the English guys and just the British guys thinks that it's all right.
Thanks to Paul for agreeing to this interview. Check him out on Twitter at Paul Ballas. That's PolBallus. And please check out the rest of this season of Between the Lines. The first 8 episodes feature interviews with Ben Reiter, Oliver Kay, Lawrence Donegan, Daniel Gray, Hugh McDonald, David Goldblatt, and yesterday's episode, which was a behind-the-scenes look at the putting together of Pep City with myself and the other half of Backpage, Neil White. Next week's episode is my mini-doc on the miracle of Castel de Sangro. Finally, if you've enjoyed this, please leave a review, tell a friend, spread the word.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.